Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in time for our second daily editorial today. It still obviously is Monday, the 24th of April. Jimmy Fields, as he mentioned a couple times during our last editorial, which dealt with, among other things, Carlson's departure from Fox, which we had some interesting ideas about that. But our second editorial has to do with the relationship between the CCP and France. Macron got kind of lambasted by some of the Chinese, specifically the Chinese ambassador. Let's talk about that, Jimmy.
Yeah, so Macron was walking a very tight rope just recently in saying that the European Union should not tie itself to the United States in response to what was happening in Taiwan, basically saying, hey, look, you know, we'll still work with you even if you invade Taiwan. And at the same time, he was reaching out to China to help negotiate peace in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine. So he was out there doing kind of a diplomatic dance, and the Chinese ambassador to France, Liu Xie, this weekend, absolutely just crushed Macron and inflamed the European Union as well as former Soviet states.
Right.
So Liu Xie, the ambassador, the Chinese ambassador to France, who's apparently one of the more aggressive policy wonks in the diplomatic corps for China that pushes a lot of agendas and fights back against negative Chinese information. He said that he questioned the sovereignty of former Soviet states after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So not only did he question the sovereignty of Crimea and Eastern Ukraine for Ukraine, but he questioned Ukraine's sovereignty as well as other former states, including the Baltics, which are now NATO members.
That's a very interesting comment on his part. How do you feel about that? I would say that there is some substance of what the guy said, Jim.
Well, no, I don't think there is at all. I mean, I'll argue that there isn't, because in fact, they have all been accepted into the UN. Yeah. There is international agreements accepting them as independent nations. And those agreements were signed actually by the former Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, at the end and the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Okay.
So the legitimacy of these nations is sound in international law, and the Chinese government today is actually trying to backpedal on this comment that he made. The problem is, because China was, you know, kind of, many people in the EU were hoping that they might have an influence over Russia to stop some of the violence in the Ukraine. They've now embarrassed themselves and inflamed the entire former Eastern Bloc nations that were subservient to the Soviet Union by indicating that maybe their sovereignty is in question. So that puts China in a very, very bad position, and all credibility in negotiating with Russia and Ukraine is basically dropped at this point.
Wow.
And it also makes Macron look stupid.
Yeah.
Because he was bowing down to them to try to sucker them into some sort of deal or to help work with them. But now he looks, okay, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Makes him look incredibly weak.
Yeah.
And I think that probably helps the Chinese position of strength in some ways, because it does put a divide in the EU between some of these other more moderate, you know, Western nations and the more concerned Eastern side of the EU,
right,
the ones that were under former Soviet control.
Well, I don't know. It's as you said in our previous editorial, Jimmy, it's this day could go down in history as being a very, very important day in the history of the United States. I would have to say that I agree with that, number one. Number two, the situation between the CCP and Macron just throws more gasoline on a fire that is doing much more than just smoldering right now, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. And the Ukrainians today, there is some reporting that they've actually crossed the Dnipro River, if in fact they have a foothold now that it's being held quietly, but if they do have a foothold across the river, that's the first time since the war, and actually in a long period of time, that they've been able to transfer weapons or equipment across the river.
Yeah,
that would be an indicator of an upcoming, the offensive that a lot of people are talking about. They also used drones to attack the Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol.
Yeah.
So, there's been a lot of media, a lot of propaganda out there, a lot of Russian propaganda talking about Ukrainian losses. In fact, South Front fan on our blog has said, hey, look, Ukrainians have lost 300,000. I'm sorry, that is not the case. It's unfortunate that people are believing that type of propaganda from the Russians. The Ukrainians have nowhere near lost that type. They've lost a lot of soldiers, and they're continuing to lose a lot of soldiers. But unfortunately, for the Russians, it's a lot greater for them. And in fact, they've really gained very little ground, and it's primarily because of Western precision weapon systems that are able to target with one shot, one kill from a 155 artillery round on Russian armor if it's stationary. And of course, a constant influx of more sophisticated anti-tank missiles, ATGMs, ground attack missiles, TOW missiles, Javelin missiles, Gepards. These are really, really effective weapon systems, and the Russians do not have a counter for that. And it's really, really, really hurting them right now. And of course, the Russians have more people. They've got more equipment. There's a possibility that they could, try to maneuver again. But at this point, it looks like the Ukrainians are preparing for an offensive, and that offensive will probably have some level of success, much more so than the Russians did over the last 2 months in their offensive efforts.
Well, I know a lot of people disagree with you, Jim, but I happen to be one of those guys who agrees with you. You know, it's pretty hard to beat a huge force that is driven by one thing, and that's called passion. Happens every day in the world of sports. Now it's happening in the world of, military politics.
Yeah, and you know what it is, Al? Look, it comes down to this. Ukraine smaller. It did not have as an effective military. It didn't have the resources.
Yeah.
But what it had was the fear of being destroyed.
Yeah.
These people are fighting for their lives.
You bet they are.
And their momentum is very strong. Now, you could call it propaganda, you could call it whatever, but the nationalism there has gained exponentially over the last year, and they're afraid of being subsumed by the Moscow, and they're going to fight for their lives.
You bet they are.
And the way the Russians have, if you look at the battlefield, and I will give our listeners two, just examples of sources to take a look at on Twitter. OSINT Technical is a Twitter feed, OSINT Technical, and UA Weapons Tracker. Every day they're posting losses and destruction on armored and equipment from both sides.
Yep.
So every now and then you'll see a Ukrainian weapon that was destroyed, and you'll see Russian weapons destroyed. Bottom line is the Ukrainians have been much more effective in their defense and had a lot more motivation because they're fighting for their lives.
Yeah, they are.
The Russians here don't know exactly what they're fighting for. And as they push more conscripts in, those conscripts are questioning what's happening. And the number of casualties is so significant, they're wondering why they're there. And that's going to continue to grow in spite of the propaganda inside Moscow and around the world. And, of course, the questioning of what are we doing there? And that's a good question. What are we doing there? How much money? Well, how long is this going to go? What's the strategy to stop the bloodshed?
Yeah.
Those are legitimate questions that need to be asked, and it is undermining confidence in Western countries because it just continues, and that's a direct result of the Biden administration, the Biden regime's failure to have a strategy. But at the same time, Ukrainians are going to fight no matter what for a long period of time.
I think the Ukrainians could care less about Joe Biden at this moment in time. I'm kind of starting.
As long as he keeps funding him and throwing
I'm
weapons
sorry?
In our. As long as he keeps throwing ammunition and weapons to him,
of course, goes without saying, but I really want to say I really kind of don't give a crap about him either anymore. And I really don't give a crap about the Democratic Party anymore. I mean, it's pretty obvious what they're trying to do to get their guy reelected. I don't think he's certainly not worth it. And America certainly feels the same way. A huge majority, around 71% of Americans surveyed, feel that Biden should not run for re-election. I hate to change the subject, and I don't mean to do that.
It'll
be interesting tomorrow to see what's happened between today and tomorrow in the Ukraine, Jim.
Yeah, and of course, and what's happening with Biden, because he probably, it looks like he may make that announcement to run again tomorrow, and it's absolutely against what the public wants. But clearly, this administration could care less what the public positions or the polls say.
You bet.
People want a border.
Yeah.
They want less crime. They don't want racial divide.
Nope.
They don't want transgender ideologies pushed in school. You know, they don't want children being mutilated over with. There's a lot of things that this administration completely ignores from public opinion.
Yeah.
And it's because they believe they can control the message. They believe that they've got the tech companies and they've got the voting influence to be able to make it work for their benefit. I don't think they can do it forever. I think it's eventually going to create either a civil war or a huge backlash.
Oh, I agree 100%.
I'm hoping the latter. I'm hoping a huge political backlash. I don't want to see a civil war in our nation.
Well, I think we have the big power on our side in terms of what's going on in the thought process of America. And that big power happens to be God. Jimmy, I want to give you the final word.
No, I agree right there. And again, I think that may have what got Tucker Carlson fired this weekend, because he's asked for people to pray 10 minutes a day for this nation. And I will do that, but I'll also keep working and struggling to try to do what's right and be transparent.
I'm the same way, Jim. Thanks, bud. We'll talk tomorrow.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.